More of Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times.
Afternoon, welcome back, 12:06 at 12:60 WRC. It is indeed Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times. Hour number two is officially underway. All right, Stephen Dine's going to be checking in here in just a couple of minutes. I don't know if you're privy to it, but there was a great deal of excitement on Capitol Hill this morning when Darrell Issa, while conducting a hearing of the Oversight Committee, was cut off. Actually, he cut off Lois Lerner after, well, here's the way it started.
On the advice of my counsel, I respectfully exercise my Fifth Amendment right and decline to answer that question.
Okay, so now Issa is looking at her and shaking his head, and he decides to go ahead and adjourn the meeting.
Ladies and gentlemen, seeking the truth is the obligation of this committee. I can see no point in going further. I have no expectation that Ms. Lerner will cooperate with this committee, and therefore we stand adjourned.
And then the fireworks began, and there happens to be a guy who knows all about it, and he's on the line right now, Stephen Dinan, Washington Times political editor. Hey, a little theater there this morning, huh?
Yeah, it's after that, the Democrats and Republicans, Issa, the chairman of the committee, went ahead and cut off the microphones, cutting off the ranking Democrat, Elijah Cummings, who wanted to deliver a statement about it, and basically things went downhill from there. So, yeah, and that's... we weren't sure what to expect. There had been, Issa had indicated that Lerner would testify, would say things, and, you know, obviously that turned out not to be true, and he clearly left frustrated. And, John Boehner, the House Speaker, said a few minutes afterwards that he thinks that she will eventually have to testify or will be held in contempt of Congress.
All right, and that was my next question. I mean, she could actually, face jail time if she doesn't answer the questions, right?
Yeah, Congress does have, contempt powers. I imagine if it does come to that at that point, she, I don't know. I guess I was about to say I imagine she would testify. But, you know, if she really does believe that there were criminal acts here that could land her in an even longer jail sentence, then, you know, maybe it makes some more sense to continue refusing to testify. But, you know, it's underlying all this is a very interesting and complex legal question about at what point did she waive her right to testify, or has she, to refuse to testify, has she officially waived that by offering a statement of innocence and confirming a few points at the previous hearing or not? And it's very complex, and Democrats obviously say, no, you can assert your right to refuse to testify against yourself, you know, on these questions, and Republicans obviously disagree, and, you know, I imagine it ends up in court, and probably take so long that we, you know, this will be long done by the time the courts get through that.
Mm-hmm. And then Cummings was trying to make the argument that this is all political in nature heading toward the midterm elections, right?
Yeah, exactly, and went through a bunch of different pieces of evidence. What we've heard before, essentially, that there are no smoking guns here, and that's true. There is no evidence that the White House or a top political person ordered this. What you have is a lot of evidence that the IRS thought long and hard about how to deal with Tea Party groups, and according to the findings, absolutely singled them out.
All right. I want to move on to something else, something that just baffles me. It's Harry Reid's persistence when it comes to hammering the Koch brothers. And yesterday, he didn't do it to a television camera or off mic or off camera or, you know, sitting down with reporters. He did it on the Senate floor.
Yeah, Reid is, it's very interesting. I was actually just a few moments ago in the Senate chamber listening to Reid, they're, as we speak right now, they're voting on one of President Obama's nominees to be the top the head of the Civil Rights Department at the Justice Department. And Reid accused the Republican opponents of basically of racism for opposing this guy who is black, who was an NAACP lawyer, who filed briefs defending convicted cop killer in Pennsylvania. And the Republicans are arguing, well, no, you know, this guy's top position at the Justice Department. This is beyond the pale, and Reid says that's racism, and went through and listed a few other black nominees that Republicans had either blocked or voted against in the past. So Reid's really, his rhetoric has gotten really heated over the last couple weeks here on the floor, specifically the one you're talking about. Yeah, now this is the Koch brothers, and you know, we're facing an election in November. Reid is this ties into the IRS we were just talking about. Reid is scared to death of the amount of money that opponents are going to be able to pour into anti-Obamacare ads, which, of course, if enough of those ads work on voters and they unseat enough Democrats, Reid loses his position as majority leader, and at that point, you know, the Senate looks very different. So this is, you can understand his frustration, but maybe not understand how heated and how angry his rhetoric is.
All right, but surely he's got to realize and recognize that this knife cuts both ways. One could argue George Soros started this mess years ago.
Sure, and you could argue that Tom Steyer, this billionaire who's vowed to put $100 million into promoting candidates who believe in human-caused climate change and are proposing ways to get rid of that or to combat climate change. You know, Tom Steyer, that would be another example on the Soros line. And Mitch McConnell stood up right after Harry Reid was done yesterday and said, I noticed you didn't mention Tom Steyer. Is that an omission? Why are you personally going after two private citizens who are exercising their First Amendment rights, which the Supreme Court in the Citizens United decision, that's why this is allowed. They confirmed that this was a First Amendment right. Why are you going after these folks, but not going after the folks who might aid your side? That's why I go back to this is absolutely about the elections. Harry Reid is absolutely trying to taint the Koch brothers' money in the elections, and I assume there are a couple of hopes there. One is to rally enough of his own base supporters, who are likely to be disheartened heading into November all around, rally enough of them to show up at the polls just to send a signal to the Koch brothers and to Republicans, and also sort of to hopefully make Republican candidates have to say to the Koch brother organization, say, please don't come into our races. You know, the money is too dangerous for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love the fact that he said the Koch brothers are afraid of him. I kind of think it's the other way around.
But. Yeah, that's as I said, Harry Reid is a very interesting character to study up here, and he's gotten the anger he's shown, including just a few minutes ago, and yesterday and last week. So the Koch brothers attack, he did initial one last week, and yesterday was the second one. It looks like this is going to be a series of attacks on them. So it's not like it's an offhand thing.
Yeah.
He's absolutely planned it.
All right. I want to take you to another story you had, the DEA. Drug cartels look to capitalize on legal marijuana laws. That didn't take long now, did it? No details, but indications that maybe the new banking rules may be in play here?
Yeah, that's exactly right. These new banking rules, they are essentially a month old, and the deputy of the DEA testified to Congress yesterday. As you said, he wouldn't get into details because there are ongoing investigations, but said they're already seeing signs that criminal gangs have found ways to exploit those new rules. And the new rules, they allow – it's complex, but so – all these new marijuana shops or newly legal marijuana shops that you have in places like Colorado and Washington, they do a very cash-heavy business, and they needed ways to be able to bank with that money. And until last month, federal law and federal rules regulations made that very difficult because, of course, the federal government doesn't want criminal gangs to be able to exploit this and launder money through the banks. Last month, the federal government issued new rules that walked those back and basically opened up the options for pot businesses to be able to bank. And so, as you said, the DEA thinks that they've seen signs that that's already going on. The criminal gangs, cartels, have already found a way into that. And, I'd love to know the details. Obviously, we aren't going to find them out until we get, some criminal activity there, some actual indictments or whatnot. But you'd love to know how they're doing it and how they were that quick on the ball.
Yeah, no kidding. All right. Finally, you and I spoke of the president's budget that was submitted yesterday. And I know that you've looked it over a little bit. Did you find any surprises in it since we spoke last?
Yeah, there are a few small surprises, but the main thing there is just how the evidence of how dead this budget is. Not only do people sort of did Mitch McConnell come out and say, hey, nobody's paying attention to this, and there's a reason why, because it's irrelevant, but you also had the top Democrat on the Senate Appropriations Committee and the top Republican on the House Appropriations Committee, so the two chairmen who will end up writing the individual spending bills, both saying, the president's proposing $56 billion more in spending this year in discretionary spending, but we have a deal from last December. We're going to use that deal. We're not going to use the president's number. So, the 2015 budget, while it gives a 10-year plan, it's supposed to only be controlling, really, for the next year. And the two people who are going to write the actual bills dealing with next year have already said we're not even paying attention to the number the president called for. So this really is the least significant, the least relevant budget we've probably ever seen up here.
Yeah. And just think, we were privy to watching it all. All right, Stephen, thanks for your help. Appreciate
My
it.
My pleasure.
See you. Bye. Stephen Dinan, Washington Times political editor. Yeah, he's had a front row seat today dealing with the hearing this morning with Lois Lerner and, as he mentioned, Harry Reid claiming racism. Republicans won't vote for the nominee that Obama wants to serve. Ah, oh, well. You know, I got a funny feeling. Since we're only in March, can you imagine what Harry Reid is going to be like come, let's say, October? It's going to be crazy. All right, stay tuned. Dr. Ben Carson next right here at WRC.